Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to ask you to stay tuned because it could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and it's done without manipulation. Just to tell you the truth, it's simply a show about God's Word. No games, no gimmicks, no hidden agendas here, because we're not trying to get you to join up, and certainly not trying to sell you anything. We're not here to ask you for anything. We're just here to give you accurate information, not some sort of useless speculation. And if you're able to listen and orient and adjust to the plan of God, then great. I hope you will do that, because my attempt will be to verify and identify that plan for you. And this show, if it's your first time to listen, this show runs in several cities, and it's running in your city right now. And what we're doing is simply giving out information and praying that God would lead us to people that want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, His anointed Son. So as we give the information, we hope you'll contact us if you want to learn more. You can always go to my website, which is www.BigRick. That's simply one word, BigRick.org. BigRick.org. That's the website where you can contact me. Or you could write to us at any time by mail, simply writing to P.O. Box 100. And the city is Cropwell, Alabama. Cropwell, Alabama. Our zip code is 35054. That's P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. And we're not asking you to send money. We're just telling you if you would like to have additional Bible study material. This is how you contact us. This is how you get in touch with us. We've always believed if God's in it, He'll pay for these shows, so we don't try to hustle up the money. We just know when the money's out, God says, time shut up. And so if you're listening today, we're not out of money yet, and we're still renting time on this radio station and giving you the opportunity to verify and identify God's plan for your life. Last Sunday, if you were with us, we started a study on time. Very important thing that we're going to take a look at for the next few weeks in our radio show. Our show is called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, and that's a military acronym for a forward line of troops. And the whole concept of developing a flight line is so that you can take the Word of God and deploy it into the forward compartments of your soul, and you can stop the outside pressure of adversity from overrunning and becoming the inside pressure of stress. But to do that, you have to know these problem-solving devices. And they include a lot of different things that we've taught on this radio show, but basically 10 problem-solving devices. And that starts with rebound, or you learning how to stay in fellowship with God after you've sinned. And that moves to the filling of the Holy Spirit and how you learn to let God's Holy Spirit control you day by day. And then using the faith rest drill, and the faith rest drill is you standing on the promises of God in the middle of tremendous adversity that may hit your life. And then you coming to grace orientation, where you begin to orient to the grace of God, and you know that you're saved by grace, and you're going to live by grace, and you're going to die by grace, and you're going to get more grace in heaven. And then there's doctrinal orientation or biblical orientation, where you begin to orient everything you do to God's Word. What would He have me do? What does He say about this? And as you begin to do that, it opens a door called a personal sense of destiny. And now you're able for the first time to leave your agenda behind and move into God's agenda and know that you're precisely, directly in the will of God for your life. These are the first 6 problem-solving devices. And that leads to personal love for God, impersonal love for others, and then on to sharing the happiness of God and occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ. 10 problem-solving devices that we've been teaching and will reteach. And if you don't have a list of them and you would like to study them, you can write to me. I'll send you the book, Christian Problem Solving, and it outlines all of these. But we are studying time right now. And we started last week and identified the concept that time is capital for you and for I. It's currency. It's what God gives us so that we can purchase wisdom. And our verse that verified that was Psalm 90, verse 12, where it said, "Teach us to number or schedule our days so that we can gain wisdom." God wants you to be very wise so you can understand the difference between human viewpoint and divine viewpoint, so that you can understand His will and plan for your life. But on top of that, listen to this. When we talk about wisdom, when we talk about you having wisdom and acquiring wisdom, as we talked about last week, I don't have time to go back over all of it, but if you will simply read Proverbs chapter 2 in the first 15 verses, you'll see the importance that God places on wisdom. And you may remember from radio shows in the past, I have told you there's a difference between knowing God and understanding God. And to know God means you have accepted Christ as your Savior and you've believed in Him. You're in the royal family. You have a relationship with Him. But understanding Him is a different thing. This is why you're told in the Bible to grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're mandated to grow up spiritually so that you could understand what God's will and plan for your life is. But also you can understand another thing. You, by learning God's Word, can come to understand who you are, what you are made of, and why you do some of the things that you do. This is a very interesting thing, isn't it? Why do I repeatedly fail? Why do I repeatedly do the same sins over and over again? What causes me to do these things? When Paul wrote Romans 7:15, he said, "I don't understand myself at all, because I want to do what's right, but I'm constantly doing what's wrong." Now, not understanding why you do that can frustrate you. So remember, you have a genetically formed old sin nature that you got from Adam. And it is a infected part of your human body. Your human body cannot go to heaven because it is infected with an old sin nature. Thus, you have to take it off and put on a new body or a resurrection body. That's why this body gets old and dies. It is infected with sin. And the Bible says, "For by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin. And now death has passed on all, for all have sinned. And the wages of sin is death." We all must die. And we are born spiritually dead. But if we believe in Jesus Christ, we're made spiritually alive. But we will die a physical death. And so you're either going to be born twice or you're going to die twice. If you're born twice, that's your first birth at the hospital or the home, wherever you got born. The second birth is your salvation. That's when you're born again. And the first death is when you die. It's appointed unto man once to die. But the second death, well, that's being cast into the lake of fire, Revelation chapter 20. So you're either going to be born twice or die twice. So understanding yourself and understanding why you do some of the things you do is one of the reasons that God gives you time to acquire wisdom. Note this. Psalm 19, verse 12. "Who can understand his errors?" There it is. God gives you understanding why you, so that you can learn why you do what you do. God gives you understanding so that you can learn why you do what you do. And Psalm 19:12, "Who can understand his errors?" It goes on to say, "Cleanse me from my hidden faults." Verse 13, "Keep me from sinning. Do not let anyone gain control over me. Then I shall be blameless and free of great offense." So how can you understand your errors? Well, first of all, as you learn the Word of God, you understand that everybody has a genetically formed old sin nature. And then secondly, you learn that everybody has old sin nature lust patterns. We all have different lust patterns. Not everyone lusts for sex. Not everyone lusts for money. Not everyone lusts for alcohol. Not everyone lusts for drugs. But some do. So some people go for A, some people go for B, some people head for C, and some go for D. These are different lust patterns. So if you understand your lust pattern and what it is that constantly defeats you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you know what your area of weakness is. And if you're able to identify your area of weakness, then you know what to stay away from. I mean, that's not hard, is it? But first of all, you have to know who you are. And that's why the psalmist says, "Who can understand his errors, my hidden faults?" We all have flaws. Every one of us have flaws. Moses had a flaw that was his temper, and it never came out but twice in the Bible, the only time it identifies it. Once it came out when he murdered an Egyptian, and that cost him almost his life. He had to flee Egypt and run to the backside of the Midianite desert and hang out for 40 years until the contract for his death was over. There was no longer a warrant for his arrest, and he went back. But the second time was at the Jordan River, when instead of speaking to the rock, he struck it in opposite of what God told him to do. And that was because he was angry at the Jews and the time they wasted in the wilderness and did not go into the promised land. So even Moses had flaws, and you and I certainly have tremendous flaws, because the Bible says Moses was the most humble man that ever lived on the face of the earth. So yeah, we got flaws, hidden flaws, and that's why we have time to learn ourselves and learn what they are. Because the Word of God, when it's resident in my soul, it acts as a mirror and reveals the hidden flaws. It shows me what I am. See? But there's a difference between, you know, you may listen to this show, and you may go to church, and you may listen to your preacher, and you may learn something, but you don't put it to work in your life. You just walk out and forget what you heard. Listen what the Bible says here. In James 1:23, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and forgets what kind of person that he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and that's the Bible, and continues in it, that's continued positive volition and growing, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. So what's the difference? The hearer is the person who has negative volition. He hears it, but he doesn't apply it. And the doer is the person who applies and keeps on hearing some more. And this is the person Jesus said will have great happiness in Luke 11:27-28. Because Jesus said, happiness belongs to the people who hear my Father's word and keep it. And both of those are on a consistent basis. Hearing the word of God consistently and keeping the word of God consistently. And you are called a doer. Now, here is the interesting part. What is a doer of the word? Listen to the Greek word doer. This is the original Greek manuscript. The word doer is pronounced poietes, and that's spelled P-O-I-E-T-E-S. And both of the E's are the long E's pronounced as an A, so poietes. And we get a word from poietes called poet. Well, how about that? The material believer is the poet who reflects the beauty and the symmetry of God's word through his life. Your life is a poem that unbelievers read. It is a poem that unbelievers see, that lets them see themselves. And that's the beauty of being a doer and not just a hearer. You see, when you go to church or Bible class, God gives you time to see who you really are, not what you think you are. And the arrogant person doesn't see himself as he really is. So we have time every day to learn about who we are. And as we get into the Word of God, and as it acts as a mirror, it shows us our hidden flaws. And if you don't, if you ignore the Word of God, you're not interested in learning the Word of God, you don't go to church, you don't listen to any pastor, you don't accept the authority of any pastor, and you tool on off down the my way highway, you will never see yourself as you really are. And you will, I repeat, in the time that you have, especially if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you will self-destruct and shorten your time by your negative volition to the Word of God. The Bible is clear, Revelation 3:17, because you say, I'm rich, and I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing, and yet you do not even realize that you are miserable, you are pitiful, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. And these are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So get with it and understand, you can shorten your time by neglecting the Word of God, by not believing God's plan, and by wandering down the My Way Highway. You wander down the My Way Highway far enough, and you're going to get into a time of trouble. A time of trouble. The name of this study is What Time Is It? And it is time for you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you're not growing. You are a believer. You are a Christian. But you don't go to church anymore. You don't accept the authority of your pastor. You're not taking in the Word of God on a consistent basis. And you're not growing. So what time is it? It's a time of trouble. In Jeremiah 38:23, the Lord will be a refuge to the oppressed and a refuge in the time of trouble. So what exactly is a time of trouble? And how do we get under times of trouble? And how can we move out from underneath times of trouble? Well, let me say this, that first of all, much of the trouble we face is in fact self-induced. It's because we either mismanage our money, we mismanage our relationships, we mismanage our personal health, and by mismanaging these affairs, we get ourselves into a jam. And so I would dare say 90% of the suffering that we experience in our life is the result of our own bad decision. And bad decisions limit future options. So if you go down the My Way Highway far enough as a believer, if you walk away from the Word of God, you're going to find yourself in a time of trouble, illustrated perfectly by the prodigal son in Luke 18. You can read it for yourself. Job 5:7 says, man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. Do you know where that trouble comes from? It comes from your old sin nature. And you have a volition in your soul. God gave you the freedom to choose. And your old sin nature will constantly influence you to choose negative, to go negative against God. But you can go positive for God as a believer in Jesus Christ when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when you've used rebound, problem-solving device number one, and you're filled with the Spirit, then you can make good decisions from an area of strength, and you can receive blessing from God. But do you continue to make bad decisions? You continue to follow the patterns of lust in your own soul? You continue to make those decisions from a position of weakness in your soul? You're going to go down the My Way Highway, you're going to hit a dead end, and you're going to crash and burn. Would you still go to heaven? Yes. Oh, yes. You're going to heaven. Are you going to shorten your life? Yes, you're going to shorten your life. Because you're not going to spend your time buying wisdom. Thus, you won't know what happened to you. And since you don't self-evaluate, you'll wind up in the cosmic vortex. You'll wind up under the sin unto death, and you won't even know why it happened to you. Now, soul is timeless. You have a soul, and your soul is timeless. You are not timeless, but your soul is. Your body is the house of that soul, and that soul is in that body. And when this body dies, when this body gives up the ghost, the soul doesn't die. The soul simply goes to be with the Father, along with the Spirit. The Spirit goes to be with the Father. That's what happens when we're born again. We're made spiritually alive, and we're reunited in heaven, and eventually we have a resurrection body. We'll have another body. This one will not be infected with a sin nature, and the soul and the spirit will be housed in that body, and that's where we will remain forever. So there won't be trouble in heaven like there's trouble here now. Trouble here now could be from some sort of cosmic clash, like weather, or war, or seismic activity, or even, as we've said, self-induced. So if you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. The Bible's clear about that. But the Bible is also clear that trouble that you don't cause, trouble that you didn't create, that He will protect you during this time. In Psalm 91:5, well, actually 4, He will cover you with His feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge, and his truth is your shield and your armor. So you never need to be afraid, the Bible says, of terror of the night, and you don't need to be afraid of arrows that fly in the day, and you don't need to be afraid of plagues that roam the dark, and epidemics that strike at noon, and the Bible says they will not come near you, even though 1,000 may fall dead beside you, or 10,000 at your right hand side. And verse 11 tells you why. Because he puts his angels in charge of you to protect you in all of your ways. Hebrews 1:14 says, are these angels not all ministering spirits sent out to render service to those who inherit salvation? See, that's what an angel does. You're much higher than angels. You're members of the royal family of God. And so God assigns to you an angel to minister to you. And we call him a guardian angel. And especially in Matthew 18:10, the Bible clearly says that children have a guardian angel as well. And that angel is to guard the volition of that child. To guard the volition of the child. Listen, let me make this clear. Guardian angels. In time, God does assign guardian angels. And there are three categories of guardian angels. Number one, the guardian angels of children, Matthew 18:10. All children have a guardian angel designed to protect them during childhood. And two, angels are guardians of church-age believers, and that's you and I, members of the royal family of God. And they are there to minister to us. And their function is seen in Psalm 91:7-14. And then there are guardian angels or guard angels who watch over client nations. Guard angels who watch over client nations like Daniel 10:13 and Daniel 10:20. And so these guard angels, or we call them guardian angels, are sent by God to establish protection or a wall of fire around these children, believers, and even nations. Now let me make this clear too. The guard angel of a child protects the volition of the child so it's not destroyed when the child is abused or in periods of abuse. Children can be abused, and that doesn't mean the guardian angel's not doing his job. That's not what it means. He's there to protect the volition of that child to make sure that nothing destroys that child's volition. So you can have an absolute miserable childhood and still choose to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have an absolutely wonderful life. No matter what might have happened to you in childhood, you don't have to carry those scars with you forever. The Bible says if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. And old things are passed away and all things become new. And that's a wonderful thing. And the guardian angels of children protects that volition so that when they get old enough, they can see and choose for themselves. So you can never say, well, I'm a victim of our environment. I grew up in a bad environment. I turned out to be a lousy fellow. It's not correct. Not ever correct. Now listen, overt pressure comes into our life every day. When we're talking about time, there's rarely a time that we don't have trouble. We can suffer from, as I said, weather. We can suffer from finances. We can suffer social trends, business trends. I mean, we can suffer. Maybe you bought stock in a certain company, and in today's economy, that stock has lost its value. You didn't sin, and yet you're suffering. And that's what we call suffering for blessing. And this is where God watches over you. But there's also suffering for discipline, and that's a completely different thing. Suffering for discipline is when God has to put pressure in your life to correct you, to humble you, and to teach you something. And so remember that. And so we want to study some of this suffering and the different ways that we suffer in time, why God allows these things to come into our life, the suffering. So first of all, let's take a look at this suffering that you didn't create or you didn't cause, and yet you're suffering because of what has happened to you. Maybe you lived in a different place, in an earthquake place or a hurricane place, or maybe your investments went to pot in the market, and you're suffering. Well, listen to what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No testing has overtaken you except as is common to man. The word testing is the word perasmos, and it means a trial or a temptation. It's a trial that tests your fidelity, that tests your integrity. it's a trial that will bring out the consistency in your life if you have it. So no testing has overtaken you such as is common to man. But God, listen to this, God is faithful and he will not allow you to be tempted. Now here, God never tempts you. Get this down. He will test you, but he doesn't tempt you. Tempting is parazo, a different word, parazo. And this is a malicious sort of test to see if you're credible by trying to entice you to sin or entrapping you in sin. God doesn't do that. He doesn't use entrapment. He will not allow you to be entrapped beyond what you're able to resist, but will also give you the ability to endure the temptation as a way to escape. So, if you are being tested, and if you go through suffering in your life, remember that the Bible says in Proverbs 22:8, the one who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will follow. And so if you're suffering from your bad decisions in regard to sin, and you've gone down the my way highway, and you're under discipline from God in time, then you have sown iniquity, and you're going to reap sorrow. That's why Hebrews 12 says in verse 6, those whom I love I chasten, and I scourge with a whip. It is no fun to have God scourge you, I promise you. And if you sow iniquity, you're going to get it. And listen to Hosea 8:7. They who sow the wind will reap the whirlwind. What's that? That's you making bad decisions and suffering as a result of your own bad decisions. The Bible in Hosea 10:12 says, sow for yourself righteousness, and you will reap mercy. That's the wonderful thing that we need, is mercy and more mercy from God. And so we suffer either from our own bad decisions, or we suffer under time of discipline from God. Suffering for blessing is another story completely. And those are the tests that God allows us to go through so we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you may suffer because of sin, which is completely self-induced suffering. You have a sin nature. That's the source of temptation. You have a volition. That's where all sin comes from. No one makes you sin. You choose it. So your old sin nature tempts you, and your volition does it. And you may know it's a sin, and you may not know it's a sin. You see, what is a sin of cognizance? It's wrong, and you know it's wrong. And the longer you're a believer, and the more aware of sin you become, the more accountable God holds you. And so you know something's wrong, and you do it. There's also a sin of ignorance. And this is, say, you say, well, I didn't know that was a sin, but you still used your volition to do it. No one made you do it, and so God still holds you accountable. So you and I must take full responsibility for all of our sins, both the ones we are aware of and the ones that we are not aware of, the ones that we don't recognize as sin. And so if we continue to live under extended sin nature control and we don't rebound, we don't confess our sin, we don't recover our spiritual life and resume our momentum, then we get into a time of discipline. And that's what our study is going to major on for the next couple of weeks. A time of discipline. I'm going to show you how a Christian can die the sin unto death. He still goes to heaven. He's still saved. But he can die the sin unto death by getting under a time of discipline and not recovering. So I hope you'll stay with me. Come back next week. You'll learn a lot, I promise you. Until then, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.